His father sort of disappeared off at an early stage, so I was on my own from the word go. And at the time, I had only met two other single mothers. And I particularly admired one of them because she had been in a place I worked. And so I thought, you know, she was a good person to emulate. And also, I was always a feminist. Long before there was a movement to back me up, I was always a feminist in my head. And so I felt that, you know, it was more of a feminist thing to do, to keep the child, bring him up on my own. So my problem was that I was unemployed at the time, so I had to get a job very quickly before it started to show. And luckily I got a job as a translator in a company, and I was there for about 4 years, and afterwards I was in the Reader's Digest, which was a very good job. So I was able, I didn't have to sort of go on social welfare at that stage, except very briefly when I was unemployed. And then afterwards, when I came back to Ireland, I was briefly unemployed as well when these companies kept folding. Because the 1980s, as you probably know, the companies were folding like packs of cards all over the place. I wasn't young. I mean, I was young, but I wasn't very young. I had a lot of experience of supporting myself. You know, I had the work experience. I knew I was capable of getting a job if I looked seriously for something. And I think I felt that maybe it was now or never, that if I didn't go with this, I might never have another chance to have a child, you know. I was by the time he was born, I was 32. 31 when I got pregnant, and then 32 when he was born. So I thought it was a good idea, because I had always hoped to have a child someday, but I never met the right man. So this seemed to be, in a way, a blessing in disguise that I got pregnant accidentally. I first heard about Cherish in 1974. I was living in Paris. My son was born in 1968. So he would have been about 5 and a half when we were home on holidays in Ireland. And I was getting in touch with, not just with Cherish, but with different women's groups that were going on here. I was interested in what was going on. And so I met Maura O'Dea. She was running things from her home in Kimmage at the time. I think there was only a small number of them, really, but the situation then was that there was a great deal of pressure on single women to give up their babies for adoption. Maura was contacting other women who, like her, wanted to keep their babies and bring them up themselves. So she was, I was very impressed with her, you know, the initiative she took. And there were about 3 or 4 women involved at the beginning, and then it grew. They put ads in the paper and all that. So then after that meeting, I sort of kept in touch by post. So when I moved back to Ireland, I got involved in Cherish. That would have been around 1981. And yeah, I gradually became active in Cherish and joined the committee. It would have been about 1983, I think. Well, I suppose I wanted to meet women in the same situation as myself, and you know, there was a sort of mutual support atmosphere there, and that was important. And our children met each other to some extent. Now, most of them had younger children than me, but you know, it was interesting to meet people, meet their children, and get involved. It wasn't at all formal. No, it was very informal. No, it was, how would I put it? We had a lot of fun together. Well, I was coming from a feminist perspective. I thought, you know, the right to keep your child and bring up your own child was important. And I also, you know, I realised that because of the childcare situation, a lot of women in Ireland needed help because they weren't able to go out to work. And they were campaigning. I think there was already a small allowance, unmarried mother's allowance it was called at that stage. But it was very small, you know, so I reckon that there was a lot of sort of basic human rights to be fought for in Ireland, for women generally and for single mothers and their children. You know, in France, the feeling was that if you either had an abortion or you went ahead and had the child and brought the child up yourself, the thought of adoption was sort of alien there, whereas here it was the opposite. Yes, it's true that contraception was illegal and abortion was absolutely unthinkable, unmentionable. So it was very difficult for single mothers. My attitude coming from Paris, where people were very supportive on the whole to me in my situation, and I had a certain amount of self-confidence because of that, and as far as I was concerned, it was my choice and I was getting on with it. And wasn't easy because you had to sort of try and support yourself and the child, and it wasn't that easy. I was going with it and was working out fairly okay. But I found that in Ireland, if you mentioned your child, they'd say things like, "Is your husband French?" And I'd say, "No, I'm not married." And in some cases, they looked at me as if I had two heads. In others, they'd be kind of hitting, as if I was a poor thing, you know. Whereas I didn't get those kind of attitudes in Paris at all. You know, they were more likely to accept you for what you were and what you're doing and how you were living your life. We did events, yes, we did concerts and things sometimes. Some musicians were very generous with their time. Like, I remember Anna Heffernan did a concert for us once, and the Furies did a big concert in the concert hall for us. And a lot of people like that, I can't remember all the details. There were fashion shows. There was one that was very good, and it was Miriam Logan who organised it. Very unusual, a historic fashion show. She went around to swap shops and got clothes from the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s and so on. She matched them up with music of the period. And she got a lot of, models and people in the fashion trade to give their services. And it was in the Mansion House, as far as I remember. And it was a great thing. It was one of the most fun fundraising events. Well, I was glad that we came out with the book. I thought for a while that it wasn't going to happen because publishers were so negative. They said unless we could put money into it ourselves, this wouldn't be worth their while publishing a book. So then eventually we reduced it down to this little booklet, and the people in the office managed to bring it out themselves, and you know, with the aid of a designer. And I wrote all the historical context, and then we had a bit of help from Aunt Dempsey, who interviewed some of the current women and added her bit to it. So I was glad we did that.